Good morning to our worship service, we can see you all here.
That's excellent. Our Father, we thank you so much this morning that for all your goodness to us, your grace and mercy, we pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts today as we meditate upon it and think about this. We pray that your will will be done. Lord, we're mindful this morning of our missionaries and thank you for them and the work that they do. And we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to support them. And we pray that you'll help us, that we might continue to be able to do that, and that your work might go far. We pray for Bob Travis, who'll be traveling back from South America tomorrow. Pray that you'll give him a safe trip home. We pray for David Prabhu and for Abigail, that you'll meet their needs as they're planning to be with us on September the 8th. We pray that that will work out for the best. And we do pray for the Kellers as they are preparing to go to Armenia and all that's involved in that. We pray for these daughters and a father that are going to face uncertain things. And we just pray that you'll meet their needs in every way. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the street meetings there in Westchester on Thursday. We pray that this might be a great blessing to many, that they might get the gospel and come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We do pray, our Father, that you will just continue to bless all of us. You know the need of each one. There's all kinds of people that have health problems, and we just pray that you'll meet their needs. And we do want to pray especially today for Jerry, as she has had these health problems, that you might strengthen her and bless her and supply her needs. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us today. Guide us and lead us by your Spirit and help us to do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, I want to read from Acts chapter 16. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 16. And we have here the gospel story. Reaching into the city of Philippi. The church is going to be established in that city. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to go back and read verse 12 again. We had it last week, but we're going to start there. Verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, her of us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the roof, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set a meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves, and fetch us out." And the sergeant told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. So we are following Paul and his missionary party on their second missionary journey. And God has led them in a very definite way to leave Asia and to go across the Aegean Sea into Europe. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and now Luke, Dr. Luke, joins with them, and they arrive at the major city of Philippi, a Roman colony, it mentions, right? So this is the place that they had set up there, and it went by the rules of Rome. The laws were all the Roman rules, and they had to go by them. And the people were very proud of that, as we noticed as we were reading this morning. They mentioned that several times, didn't they? This business of being Roman citizens. And so this was the city of Philippi, founded by the father of Alexander the Great, and his name was Philip, of course, and so they called it Philippi. So there was no synagogue there. Paul usually went to the synagogue and began his ministry, reaching the people that he was able to reach there. But there's no synagogue because you have to have 10 Jewish men in the city before you can have a synagogue. So there was a group of ladies, apparently, that met down by the riverside. They had, sort of down by the riverside. I always think of that when I read that, down by the riverside. But anyway, This is what they were doing, is look at places that they could legally go and was recognized as a place for having religious services, and they could go there and pray. So Paul and his group went there with these ladies, and one of the ladies named Lydia, we talked about her a little bit last week, she was listening carefully to what they had to say. She understood the gospel of Christ, and she put her faith and trust in Him. Now Lydia, it says, was a seller of purple cloth. This is a business lady, and probably a wealthy person. She had her own home, and so she invited the apostles to go there and to stay with her and her family and all the other people that lived there, of course. And she invited them to come. And no doubt, this is where they eventually set up the church, right? In Lydia's home. She was the one who was able to provide a place for them. And so this was the beginning of the church of Philippi. You know, talk about the man of Macedonia that came to Paul and gave him the vision. And now we find him when he gets there. There are ladies. What do you think about that? Now, don't get me confused. I know there's a lot of talk going around about men changing into women. No, it's not that. It's not that at all. No, once you start out, you stay the same, right?
Okay.
But anyway, we have here Lydia and these other ladies. It doesn't say anything about the others. Now, I don't know how many, but she and her household all trusted in Christ as their Savior. Did you see that? This is what happened. She received the gospel message, and they preached to her and her whole family and the people that lived there, and they put their faith and trust in Christ. So, we have here the beginnings. These are the first ones to be converted there in the city of Philippi. And the missionaries go home and set up their housekeeping there with them. So this is how became the site for the church, just like all the early churches, right? They all met in homes. They didn't have a nice building like we have here. You know, they met in the homes. And so Lydia opened up her home for the church. Meanwhile, the group continued to have their meetings down by the riverside, right? They had their prayer meetings, and apparently they went probably every day down and had their prayer meeting, and then they would go back home again, right? And that's what he's talking about here in verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination in us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. So here we have a demon-possessed young lady, right? And she has the power, no doubt, given to her by these demons, by Satan, and gave her the power to tell fortune, to help others, to tell others what they needed to know. And so she was there as they would go by. She'd see them, of course, follow along behind them, and what did she do? She made fun of them. She mocked them, right? Here we find she's coming along behind them, and she said, "Ah, these men, servants of the Most High God, that showing us the way of salvation." You know, and what she was saying is true. Right? This free advertisement. But Paul did not like the idea of the devil giving him a good advertisement. That's not a good thing. Right? And so he got tired of hearing that. And said this happened over and over again in verse 18. She did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, he got tired of hearing it, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same night. So Paul, being an apostle, And back in the early days, they had the power to cast out demons and to promote the work of God. So here, he was able to do that. You know, and it is good to be. I was just saying about that. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, got tired of hearing this day after day. What does that speak of? He was a human being, wasn't he? Just like we are. And when somebody keeps on mocking you day after day, well, today we didn't have to take a stick and mock him in the air or something, you know, we can't cast out the demons, but he did. And notice what happened here. Her masters, apparently more than one, that had control of her, were upset because she lost the power to do the fortune telling, right? She lost the power to do this work that she had been doing for them. They were the ones making a lot of money on this. And so they took Paul's house, they arrested him immediately and took them into the marketplace where they went before the magistrates, these judges. It said these men, notice what it says, being Jews. Oh, we see that anti-Semitism rearing its ugly head here, right then. And you know, it's still doing the same today. I know that's one of the things that our chosen people are emphasizing in these days. A campaign against anti-Semitism, because there's so much of that going on. Just the very fact of being a Jewish person, being born into a certain family, marks you as being somebody inferior, you know? Not quite like you, right? Whereas God chose the Jewish people as his own special trophy, and he's going to work with them. You might have a different idea about Jewish people, and I don't want to get into that. But at any rate, we find here they were upset because they had come in. You say, well, these foreigners, they just got here, and they're causing problems. They're taking away the rights of the people here. And notice it says, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Oh, they're troublemakers. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, being Romans. You see? We can't do what the Jewish people want us to do. We are Romans. That'd be a pride, right? Yeah, we're better than they are. So they are saying that we can't allow them to come in and change things. Everything's got to continue like it is. And today, the people trying to change things are changing, to me, the wrong things. Mm-hmm. We have an election coming up this year, don't we? Yeah. What are we going to do? Wait a minute. It's up to you to make sure that you do your part. Vote according to the way you see things, but make sure that God's will might be accomplished for us. Anyway, we find hatred of the Jews. It's always been a problem of discrimination. And the real problem was they lost their money. That's it. Right? They were no longer able to use this girl, to abuse her, and to cause her to tell fortunes and make them money. It's like you remember later on we talk about Alexander the Coppersmith. You know, he was so concerned about the religion, you know, worshiping Diana, that she was not receiving the devotion she should have had. But his real reason was, he was the one that made the idols, that made the money. So people, you can't believe everything people say. Anyway, that's just a little side lane. So that the appeal given to the people's pride of being Romans and presented these men as a danger to their way of life. they stirred up them all. They had their disciples beaten and thrown into the prison. Wow. What had they done? Paul and the others had come there preaching the gospel, setting people free. They did a good deed to this lady. She was set free from these demons. And now here they are, brought in before the magistrates and take them and beat them with rods and then cast them into prison. And it says here that when they had laid many stripes upon them, verse 23, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. He had a great responsibility. And whom, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. I was reading about that. It said that they put their legs apart where it wasn't comfortable and everything, and they fastened them in there so they couldn't move. Punishment. For what? For preaching the gospel. Think of that. That's something. When we think about the, even today, there's still people that are being cursed because they preach the gospel. And some of them, not even that. In some places, all you've got to do is have a Bible and read it. And it's amazing. People are so afraid of these, of what God might do in the life of these people. And it happens. An age-old problem. Keep it going even today. And we need to pray for them. Are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Anyway, we find here, they put them in the inner prison, thinking that, oh, they'll be safe there. But God had something else in mind, didn't he? Right? We see here, this part, the conversion of the Philippian jailer. I love that. That's a beautiful story. This man, no doubt, can you picture this jailer? What kind of a person was he? I think he'd be a hard man. He's in charge of this prison, and he's got to keep everything in order and take care of all these problems. And he must have been a very hard person. But here we find he's going to be changed. What a joy it is to see God work in a person's life. Notice what happened here. Verse 25. At midnight, ooh, here we are. The bewitching hour, right? It's a very hard hour, right? Midnight. Paul and Silas were out singing and praising God. Isn't that great? They weren't moaning, you know. They expected him to go back there and into prison and just sit there and, you know, bemoan their lot in life. But no, they are singing and praising God, and the prisoners heard. So they were given both a witness, even there in the prison. Paul was always proclaiming the gospel, no matter where he was. And here he is again. Suddenly, something happened. What happened? There was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. How about that? Was this just an earthquake? No, well, you know, we have earthquakes in various places around the world, right? Jericho, Dublin. All kinds of things happen. But notice what it says to you. All the doors were open. And all their bands were loose, so they were free. This was not no ordinary earthquake. God sent this, right? He had a reason for doing it. And it says the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep. Here he was. He was sleeping. Maybe dreaming about something. This jailer. And all of a sudden, Oh, everything went crazy. Everything started moving. And you woke up suddenly. You saw all of the doors were open. And he took out his sword and he was going to kill himself because he knew that he was responsible for all these prayers. You know, back in that day, he mentioned in another place all of the people, all of the guards were killed because someone escaped. And that's what they did. Whatever the sentence was upon the people, the jailer had to suffer. So if all these people escaped, then he would be killed. So he said, well, I'll just do it myself, right? He drew out his sword and would have killed himself, thinking that they had gotten away. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do yourself no harm, we're all here. Now that's a miracle in itself. Think of this. All these prisoners are there in this jail. All the doors are open, all the bands are loose, and what? They're still standing. They don't go anywhere. Paul said, we're all here. Don't do anything to yourself. We are all here. And he called for a light, went in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You know, Dr. John R. Rice has a tract. It's old now, of course. I don't know if it's still used or not. Entitled, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Have you seen that? It's an old booklet. And that's what he said. He fell down before the apostles and he said, what must I do? What's he talking about? Does he mean saved from death? Saved from the earthquake? No. He has to be talking about salvation as we think of it, right? The apostles had been preaching and praying, singing the gospel, and he says, that's what I need. I need to be saved. So here, we find this man. He goes in and he falls down before them, humbles himself before them, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And what did they tell him? Oh, well, you first of all, you've got to go to church. You've got to be confirmed right now. And you've got to be baptized. You've got to... Did they say any of it? How will you say? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You like that about the house?
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful it is to think about that. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, and your house. What does that mean? If he's saved, then the whole house is saved? No. But it means they have the opportunity to be, right? Because if he's saved and his life is changed and he trusts in Christ as his Savior, then he's able to lead his family, his household, to Christ, right? And here we find this is what happens. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and draw them in his house. Not just him. It's all. Each one has to believe for himself. Right? God doesn't have any stepchildren or grandchildren or anything like that. We all have to believe for ourselves. And so that's what he's saying here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Believe. What does it mean to believe in him? We sang it a few minutes ago. One day. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross of Calvary and died in that place. He was buried, he arose again, and he's coming back again to receive us. This is what Jesus has done. That's what he's doing. And we believe in him and who he said he was. He is God. God the Son. And we believe on the Lord Jesus. And we trust in him and for our salvation. There's no other way. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? We said, that's kind of exclusive, isn't it? What do you mean about these people all over? Each and every one of us must come to Christ and put our faith and trust in Him. And they explain to Him God's Word. I don't know how far they went, but you know, it must have been from the Old Testament and everything else. But they explained the Word of God to them and to His household, and they believed. They trusted in Christ as their Savior and received eternal life. So, we find this hardened jailer took his prisoners. He washed the stripes. He fed them. He rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. What a difference in that, right? Here, these apostles were chained into this prison, feet fast in the stocks and all that, and God released them. And now here, they're treating them like kings. You had the guests, right? Brought them in, took care of their wounds, fed them. And what does it say? Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his family. Well, baptism does not save you. But when you are saved, you should be baptized. Because that's the picture we have in the Bible. Wherever you look, when someone came to Christ that was saved, then they were baptized. What does that show? That shows that you're committing yourself to Christ. You see, He was baptized, yes. And He told us to go and proclaim the gospel and to baptize those who believe. And that's what happened to you. So we find baptism is important. And if you have never been baptized, if you are a Christian, you should be. Right? That's what the picture that we have throughout the scriptures. Baptism comes after. Not to save us, but to show that we are with the Lord. We are His people. We belong to Him. So that's the part that we look at here. He and all his family, those that had to believe for themselves, and then they were baptized in obedience to the command of Christ. He brought them out, set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a transformation, huh? From a dark prison where everything is miserable, now they're rejoicing. Oops. They're rejoicing in the Lord for all of His goodness to them. Okay, so behind you, then what happened? This last little bit I've got is Paul's strange behavior. Beginning verse 35, we find the magistrates send a message saying, okay, let those men go. They can go now. It's all over. And they told Paul, okay, you can go out now. Paul said, oh, wait just a minute. No. He says, let them come and escort us out. You know, they thought they were going to get rid of these troublemakers. But Paul said, no, we are Roman citizens. We have rights. And you didn't even check to see who we are. And so he used that which was lawful to him for the benefit of him and his cohort and also for the church. Because after this, no doubt, when Paul and Silas and the others left, the church is still going to be there. And these people need to realize that they can't treat them any kind of way they want. because they are God's people. So, he uses his rights to show that he is a Roman citizen, he's a child of God, and that he has the right to do this work that he's doing. So they went and they brought in the magistrates and they had to humbly take them out. You can see that it's always wonderful when you see the someone who's a bully put down. They had taken them and beaten them and put them in prison, and now they have to go and humbly take them back out. Say, go on your way. And so it says, the last verse says, they went out of prison, entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So here we find them. The church was meeting there at Lydia's house, and they went to be with them and to encourage them, strengthen them, and then they went on their way to the next place. The disciples went to encourage these believers. That's one of the most important things, I think, in the ministry, is to encourage one another, to keep us going. This new found church, these people who have just been converted and don't know a whole lot yet, need to find the encouragement and strength of the scriptures and of the leaders in the church. So Paul goes and encourages them, and then goes on his way to the next. So God's working. Can you see how God worked there? Using all kinds of means. You know how that life did it? Huh? So often we live in Him, right? So, well, woe is me. What am I going to do? Here I am. God's working, right? He's still in charge. And we can look to Him for all that we need. Father, we thank you for your precious word for our hearts today. And for the salvation that you give to us. Lord, just like you saved Lydia, this girl, and the Philippian jailer, you have saved us by your grace and mercy and love. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do love Him. And we do want to serve you. Lord, would you please guide us, lead us, and help us, and meet the need of each and every one who is here today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, thank you for this time together. We pray that your Spirit would seal to each heart what you have us take from here today. Fill us with your Spirit, with your power. Use us to proclaim the gospel, to point Christians to you. Use us mightily, we pray, today and into this week. Thanks and praise in Jesus' name.